Paul talks about the newness of life. Now, that's interesting. Okay, so they're going to focus on that in chapter 6 of Romans. This is a good day to join us and read the Bible. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Rod Hembry.
I'm Janice.
And this is Bible Discovery, a program taking you through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Today we're in Romans. Now, our reading is 4 to 7, chapters 4 to 7, but we're focusing on chapter 6, 1 to 14. So stand by. All right, Corey, go ahead.
Well, in Romans, in our assigned reading, Paul talks a lot about Abraham. So you and I are going to look back in the pages of time at Abraham. Ryan?
Today, I'm continuing my study from yesterday into literary devices in the Bible.
All right. Literary devices. Look forward to that one. Excellent. Janice?
A new way. The way.
All right. So take your Bible guide and turn with us to this is very interesting passage today. Let's look at it. Let's open up the Bible and read.
Romans 6, 1 through 14. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14.
Some of the fundamental questions about how we live if we are Christians or people who follow Christ. It's a really good time to look at this as we study in Romans chapter 5. I believe, or chapter 6, it's really interesting. I believe it's important for us to understand what is a Christian? Well, I mean, the definition could hold different meanings between people. See, in today's world, there are many who claim to be a Christian because they have given themselves to what that title they think means. But do they believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead in the flesh? Do they believe Jesus Christ rose from the dead in the flesh? Have they given their lives to Jesus Christ, even willing to die for him? After all, Jesus himself said he was the Son of God, and that those who truly love him will follow his commandments. This now brings us to a new definition of Christian. A person who has turned away from sin in their life and declared war on their sinful desires, who truly follow Jesus Christ with the power of the Holy Spirit living in them, who has confessed Jesus Christ with their mouth and the Lord Jesus believed in their heart that God raised him from the dead. Now, let's think again. How many do you know who call themselves Christian, believe Jesus Christ rose from the dead, have turned away from pursuing sin, and have asked for God's Holy Spirit to take control of their living? When it comes to figuring out if someone is truly a Christian, let's start there. This is a really interesting study today because we have to look at this carefully. All right. So as we focus in on this, we're looking at Romans chapter 6, 1 to 14. Wow, this is really something. And take your Bible guide, turn to page 35 on the Bible guide. It's the October Bible guide. And if you don't have a Bible guide, call us or write to us, or you can go to BibleDiscoveryTV.com and you can get it, download it from there, just as we printed it, so you have a digital copy yourself. But just remember, cost us money to send it to you, so we appreciate it. New material every month. Nothing is, repeated. Everything's new. God has revealed year after year for 30 years. That's amazing. Anyway, over 30 years. All right, let's pray and ask God to show us his way and teach us his path. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus, you have given us 3 points that we believe are from you. So help us to hear them. Help us to teach them. Help us to do them. Thank you, Lord. And help us to not read into it, but to read out of it from your Holy Spirit. And we said together, amen. With that in mind, let's read verse 1 of chapter 6. What shall we say then, Paul says? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Fascinating. Paul talks about the newness of life as evading sin. We must turn away from sin and turn to follow Christ, to walk in a new way of life. There's a word called sanctification, and that's very important, beloved. We are people who are willing to be sanctified by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's very important. Let's read on. This is really good. So he says, for if we are united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we all shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. He who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. Christians have died to sin and live in Christ. They've died to sin and they live in Christ. You see, our lives are destined to a lifestyle change when we come to know Jesus Christ. When we come to know Jesus Christ, we desire to change. The Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and we begin to move differently. So many people, I stopped counting years ago, have said to me, my life has changed so much. I mean, we're talking people with former, like, serious addictions, okay? Serious issues, serious problems. God's Holy Spirit has freed them, and they are distributing who they are now. It is absolutely amazing. The devil doesn't like that either. Anyway, but God loves it and he helps them. Let's read on. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. That's what that means. We should not let sin rule over us, but present ourselves to God ready for righteousness. We can make that choice and God will help us do it. This is specific choice that we make every single day. A specific choice that we make every single day. So Lord, help us. My goodness, Lord, we have to take this Christian thing a little more seriously now. Means we change the way we live. We don't live sinful anymore. We just run off and be sinful. Help us, Lord, today in the name of Jesus Christ to become people of righteousness through the power of your Holy Spirit. We said together, amen.
In the book of Romans, we see the Apostle Paul dealing with Jewish-Gentile relations within the Christian church as he writes to the Christian brothers and sisters in Rome. And one of the ways that he decides to deal with this is going back and appealing to Abraham, who, of course, is the forefather of the Israelites. So today, I want to take a look at the Cave of Machpelah, because this cave was utilized as Abraham's family tomb. Take a look.
Genesis 23 recounts a land purchase agreement between Abraham and Ephron the Hittite. Their agreement took place at the city gate of Hebron to be witnessed and resulted in Abraham's ownership of a field with a cave in it. This cave served as Abraham's family tomb and became known as the Cave of Machpelah. The Bible records the interment of at least six people here: Sarah and Abraham, Isaac and Rebekah, Leah and Jacob. After these six, it's often assumed closed for burials, as the interments of the sons of Jacob are not recorded, only that of Joseph, whose mummified body was buried at Shechem on land that his father Jacob had purchased. Today, there is a famous site in Hebron that claims to be built on top of the Cave of Machpelah. The foundation, walls, and floor of the interior courtyard of this building is believed to be the only fully preserved building of Herod the Great. The construction and design style seem iconically Herodian, and the similarities with Herod's Jerusalem temple are obvious. Herod's structure was a massive roofless enclosure that may not have had an entrance. The ones there today were cut much later. Over the millennia separating Herod from us, various rulers and conquerors have altered and added to the structure of Machpelah, developing legends to go along with it, like it containing the secret passage to the Garden of Eden, being the burial site of almost anyone important, like Adam and Eve, Moses and Zipporah, and more historically plausible, the sons of Jacob along with Esau. Modern research has not been allowed to truly commence here, but underground exploration and modification has occurred in history at least once in the Crusader period. The closest the site came to an archaeological investigation was in 1967. Secretly, a 12-year-old girl was lowered through a small hole armed with a camera and a flashlight. She explored as much as she could, taking measurements and notes. She did not find the bones of the patriarchs, but the internal masonry seemed Herodian, and she described large stone slabs. It remains unclear if the slabs were mounted to the wall or if they concealed chambers.
So there we go. A quick look into that historical site of the Cave of Machpelah.
Yeah, you're always into these places, Cave of Machpelah. We're in the death places and all of that fascinating stuff. Very good, Corey. All right, Ryan, you're up.
All right, well, if you recall, on yesterday's program, I introduced us to a literary device used a lot in the Bible called a chiasm, otherwise known as reverse symmetry. Now, this is when ideas are mirrored in reverse order. So a modern example of this would be the phrase, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. So the book of Romans, as a matter of fact, has a lot of these chiasms. So let's take a look at that.
Considered by many to be the most significant of the Apostle Paul's writings is his letter to the Romans. As one scholar puts it, Romans is one of the most important theological documents of all time. Its influence on the course of Christian history and the development of Christian theology is inestimable. Another says that Romans is Paul's strongest theological argument and the nearest thing to a systematic theology we have in Scripture. Even poet Samuel Taylor Coleridge called it the most profound work in existence, and Martin Luther said it is the chief work of the New Testament. It may not come as a surprise, then, that the book of Romans contains several chiastic patterns in order to aid its readers in the learning of the most important message of all time, the good news of Jesus Christ. Some of these chiasms are limited to just a few verses, while others span several chapters. One example of a chiastic structure spanning many chapters is found in Romans chapters 5 through 8. Following an ABC-CBA pattern, Paul teaches us through these four chapters that A, believers can be confident of final glory, because B, believers are in Christ and thus are free from condemnation in Adam, and C, believers are set free from the power of sin and from the binding authority of the law. In fact, believers are free from condemnation because of the Spirit's work, and thus believers can be confident of final glory. An example of a chiasm spanning only a few verses is found in Romans 2, 6-11, and can be summarized as follows. A. God judges everyone the same. B. Life is the reward for doing good. C. Wrath is the penalty for evil. B. Life is the reward for doing good. A. God shows no favoritism. Another six-verse chiasm is found in Romans 9, 24-29, where Paul teaches about the inclusion of the Gentiles into God's family. A. God calls people from the Jews. B. God calls people from the Gentiles. B. The Old Testament confirms that God calls people from the Gentiles. A. The Old Testament confirms that God calls people from the Jews. Some chiastic patterns are only one or two verses long. For instance, in Romans 5:12, a simple A-B-B-A pattern is employed. A. Sin enters the world through one man. B. And death results. In fact, death comes to all. A. Because all sinned. Another brief but significant chiasm is found in one of the most quoted passages in all of Romans. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, Paul teaches us that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What these chiastic patterns help demonstrate is that the book of Romans wasn't haphazardly written, but rather thoughtfully penned by Paul, who ultimately wrote through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God.
All right, so I hope that made sense. If you do want to rewatch these segments or read the articles, you can go to our website at BibleDiscoveryTV.com. I posted today's segment and yesterday's segment there, as well as on my YouTube channel, which is just my name, Ryan Hembree.
All right, Ryan, that's good. So Corey Babechko is at her website, which is the stream is
YouTube.
Yeah. And you have a YouTube site, and I have a YouTube site called Pastor Hembree. Now, I just need to say this because there was a time when you were like small and held cue cards. And 30 years ago, over 30 years ago, we did a program called Just the Facts. 18 of those programs are on my website. We just put them up.
On YouTube?
Can you believe that?
Not your website.
No, that our YouTube website. Can you believe that?
And, the channel,
and they,
yeah.
They still exist. We took them off tape. And but people ask for them. But, I, you know, when you look at yourself and you're 35 years younger, and I look at you and I look at Corey, because yeah. Corey, how old are you?
The 90s. It depends on what year
you
it was.
You were 9 years old. Yeah, I remember I saw you with the dog.
10 to 13 is like, I feel like was just the fax age for me.
Yes,
and then
that's
Enoch
right.
was younger.
That's right. Because
yeah.
you had the dog Precious with you. We mm-hmm. we had got that dog on camera too. Anyway, I don't know. I'm digressing here. But it's just, if you're interested in these segments and more, then check us out on YouTube because we are there. Or Bible Discovery TV, you can find us on YouTube there. Or you can go to there and find our YouTube space from there as well.
And all those right. programs were done way back in the day for young people.
They were done.
But we yeah. learned later on that a lot of times the parents would watch too.
Because, we did.
The humor or some of the things presented were
I had a lady I was at a convenience store. And the lady said, "You're on just the facts." And it was like 2 years ago. And I said, "How did you know that?" "Oh, I know that. I watched that when I was 12. And I was like, "How old are you now?" Anyway, it was really interesting, but fascinating stuff.
It was
stuff.
Emblazoned in her brain.
Right? It was. That's back when we
hard
had,
to look away.
Hard to look away.
When we had stuff on, you know, we had stuff on tape. So
yeah,
tape,
physical copies.
We had to send that to every station. It was really Anyway.
This is why we get confused. Our generation.
Right.
Because,
right.
you know, we remember the cassette tapes and 8-track tapes and then
cassettes.
DVD cassette and all of these things. Remember when we used to have to add things without a calculator?
I remember. We had to add by
using
long.
Our heads.
Now they just plug everything in the computer. Computers were illegal in my school. I mean, they were illegal.
Ryan and I weren't allowed to use calculators either. The teachers always used to say, "You're not going to have a calculator in your pocket everywhere you go."
Yeah, that's
well, wise words.
Yeah,
wise words. Yes,
those were the days.
Just saying.
That was only like 25 years ago.
Anyway, I use my calculator every day.
Yeah,
exactly. One in my pocket.
It's true. And there you go, segueing into my segment called
sorry.
"A New Way, The Way." We have Paul talking about being dead to sin and alive to God. And the remark that I have here for us today, for me, do you walk the walk or just talk the walk? Let me say that again. Do you walk the walk or just talk the walk? We cannot live. Well, let me read what Paul says here. "Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." When we come to Christ Jesus and we confess him as Lord, we believe in our hearts that he died and God rose him from the dead in the flesh. We are saved. And our spirit within us is filled with God's Holy Spirit. And the Bible says we become a new creation. So why then, if we are committed to follow Christ who gave his life to pay the cost of our sin, and we have said, "Yes, Jesus, I receive that. Please forgive me of my sin. I choose to follow you." Why then would we want to go back and live the way we did before we had Christ? Or why would we want to turn our heads from him to do something that we see in our culture that maybe looks good or might feel good in the moment? These are some of the things that we need to look inward to our own heart. Let's not be looking at one another. It's that whole rod that the scripture, the speck in your brother's eye. Why are we worried about getting that speck out of your eye, Rod, when I have a plank in my own eye that I need to make right? I need to make sure that my life is following after Christ. The amazing thing about God is the grace that he has, this grace that is extended to us that we don't deserve it. Some people would say, well, you know, for me to experience grace, that means I should just go out and do all the things that I shouldn't do because God will forgive me, right? Because he loves me. Don't abuse the amazing grace that God extends to you and to me. Let's follow the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we do that? Do we listen to the popular vote? Well, this group says it's okay to do that. This group says it's okay to do that. Or this group says you shouldn't do that, shouldn't say that, shouldn't eat that, shouldn't. Here's a set of rules. This is God's word written to you and to me. Begin by giving your life to Jesus Christ. Come to him in his word. Get his word in your heart. That will give you newness of life. That will set your mind and your heart right. And we all slip and we all fall. But let's be on the right side of that and be ready, willing, and able to say, God, in those moments, please forgive me. Teach me your way. Show me your paths, God. I am willing. Mold me and make me into the person that you have created and designed me to be. And he will.
I remember talking to someone when I was pastoring, and they said to me, you know, my life was totally in the wrong direction until I confessed Jesus Christ. And then it took a little time, but I figured out that I couldn't sin anymore. And I said, yes. He said, my life has changed. And Father, I pray that you would help us today to get focused on living our life, not for what we want to do, but for what you want us to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, we said together, amen.